want you to play dirty if you have to, but don't get caught.
Concentrate, focus, power.
If you put your effort and concentration into playing to your potential, to be the best that you can be.
I'm not good at that stuff. Instead, I thought I'd lead you in a psalm of inspiration. Our Father, who art in Calgary, bobsled be thy name.
On this Friday, we can actually count the days before the holidays are upon us. They're actually kind of upon us if you look at the movie titles. Kristen Meinzer and Rafer Guzman are here. Rafer, film critic for Newsday. Kristen Meinzer, culture producer for The Takeaway, co-hosts of the Movie Date podcast. Welcome.
Hi, John.
Hi, John.
So we've got a contrast. We've got a holiday movie. We've got kind of a scary adventure movie. And then we've got a franchise that's inevitable. Let's start with the movie The Night Before. Here's a clip.
What is this party called?
Why, you haven't heard? It's a Nutcracker ball.
The acts all around, but to no avail. What was this great party? And though year upon year they tried and they failed, they never did tire. They never did bail.
So The Night Before, are they going with year after year Christmas tradition here, or is this a one-off?
This is one of those Arrested Development type of comedies. It's the year after year tradition of partying hard on Christmas Eve. But of course, all these guys, Seth Rogen, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Anthony Mackie, they've all grown up except for Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who still wants to keep going and find this mysterious nutcracker ball. I guess the idea of what's essentially a Christmas stoner comedy is kind of interesting, but it's the typical stuff you've seen. Seth Rogen takes a lot of drugs, a lot of mushrooms, plays with his face. There's some vulgar sexual humor. I don't really think it works. The one thing I would say is it is pretty funny to see Michael Shannon play a mystical pot dealer named Mr. Green. He kind of steals the show. The rest of the film, not so great.
All right. Second movie, The Secret in Their Eyes. This is a little more serious. Not very much holiday about this, but an amazing cast. Here's a clip.
Let's kill him. Let's do it now before we lose him again. We just do it and that's it. He goes. Nobody will miss him. We'll make the case on the moss without him and Carolyn gets the rest.
And then what? What would a few bullets get me? A lifetime in jail so he dies without ever serving a day, and I spend the next 50 years envying him. Does that sound like justice to you?
This is an acting, Godzilla versus Megalon in some sense. What do you think of the cast and what they're trying to accomplish here?
Well, that's Chiwetel Ejiofor and Julia Roberts, and I'm a big fan of both of them, and they're in a very serious movie here. It's a remake of an Argentinian film that won the Best Foreign Language Oscar a few years ago. And it's the story of two people who are working in law enforcement. She finds out that her daughter is killed by somebody who is an informant to the anti-terrorist organizations in America that have popped up after September 11th. And thus, they can't really touch this person, even though he raped and killed her daughter. It's a very serious movie. It's a very dark movie. And I have to say, it's very slow. I don't think the pacing works very well. By the time we start getting the big delivery moments at the end of the movie, they come boom, 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 and those are great. But everything before that, I think really the pacing needed to be changed. And their boss in the office, who's played by Nicole Kidman, I don't think her character was really fleshed out as well as she should have been either.
What do you think, Rafer?
Yeah, it's not just slow. It's also really clumsy. This is one of those movies where I feel like every single detail in the film is just wrong. It's one of those films where the cops will be stalking their perp, and instead of flanking him and trying to capture him, they'll point at him and yell so that he can start running immediately. And also the whole time I kept thinking, this is just some kind of 21-year-old punk kid, and you can't get these, three FBI agents can't seem to nab him anywhere. It's just this very, very, as Kristen said, slow, and I think very morose, very hand-wringing, and very badly directed film.
That's lost all of the nuance, it sounds like, of the Argentinian original.
Right, which, as Kristen said, won the Oscar, and this just is so, it's so melodramatic and so overdone, and I found the final plot twist, which I won't spoil, to be almost like a cruel joke. I think people at the screening I was at actually started giggling a little bit. They didn't want to, but you kind of couldn't help it.
Well, if you want melodrama, if you really want melodrama, I mean vintage melodrama, Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2 is here.
You're considered high-value targets to the capital. Our unit has been given a holo, a database that contains a detailed map of the capital and a list of every known pod. These pods can trigger anything from bombs to traps to mutts. Whatever they contain, they are meant to kill you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 76 Hunger Games.
76, but this is only number 3, right?
Yeah.
Or four, depending on how you look at it. Yeah.
This is the last installment. This is it. This is the end. We say goodbye to Katniss Everdeen, Jennifer Lawrence. She's taking her rebellion all the way to the steps of the Capitol to fight President Snow, played by Donald Sutherland. I have found these films to be less and less impressive as they've gone along. They started out with such promise, based on these acclaimed novels by Suzanne Collins, and I feel that they've gotten slower, talkier, more thematically soupy as the movies have gone on, and I would say this is the worst of the series.
Right.
Endless, interminable. You know, we heard that clip with talk of pods. I don't know what pods are. I don't know what a mutt is. And I didn't really care throughout the entire film. And I'm sorry to say, I'm glad to see this this era coming to an end.
Worse than the Matrix sequels, Kristen?
Oh, that's not a fair question, John Hockenberry.
Right.
You know that's not a fair question.
That's true.
But I have to agree with Rafer on this one. These most recent two films, I was a big fan of the first two, by the way. But the most recent two, they did that thing that I just can't stand, that Harry Potter also did, that Twilight also did. They took the last book in the trilogy, they split it into two movies, which they shouldn't have done. And that means there are a lot of scenes of people just sitting there conversing and explaining. And the first 45 minutes of this movie, there's not a single action scene. It's almost exclusively conversing, meeting, and explaining. And it's
like
just
watching
too much.
A radio show.
Exactly. But I will say, once the action starts happening, it becomes much more enjoyable. But it would have made so much more sense for the final two films to have just stuck to being one movie as they were in the book, just one story.
Well, maybe Jennifer Lawrence and Amy Schumer will reappear in some new franchise since they're good friends now. The podcast.
This week on the podcast, we're dealing with a lot of listener mail, including somebody who's a little bit mad at Rafer for something he said on a podcast.
Ooh, uh-oh.
Big surprise.
Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday, and Kristen Meinzer, culture producer for The Takeaway. Have a great weekend, guys.
Thanks so much,
you
John.
You too, John.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.